With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm looking forward to this conversation. You know, one of the things that I loved, oh God, this is a time capsule from my childhood. Many of you as well, I'm sure. Saturdays would entail going to play Little League. I'm told when you first start playing Little League, first grade, there was no T-ball when I was growing up, at least not my area. And we'd come back. My dad would go get cold cuts, get roast beef, get a little cheese, get some soda, get the pretzels. We'd go in the basement. We would watch This Week in Baseball. We'd watch the Baseball Bunch, and we'd watch the Game of the Week. And a lot of times, my next guest was right in the middle of it all because he was one of the stars. 10-time All-Star, back-to-back MVPs, Key Spoke in the Big Red Machine. It's the great Joe Morgan. Joe, Tiki and Tierney, but it's Tiki is out today. But welcome to our show. How are you today, Joe?
I am doing great. How about you?
Phenomenal. You know, I need a little help on this, and understandably you'll be biased, I would imagine. The decade of the 70s, I don't know, maybe it's the first thing that popped into my mind, but I look at the 70s in totality, and I see the A's with that great dynasty early. I see you guys in the middle with the great iconic Hall of Famers that you played with. I see the Yankees going back-to-back in 77, 78. You can make the very, very strong point, without much ammunition to contest it, I don't think, that the 70s had the most dynasties, like the most powerful teams of any decade in the history of baseball.
I agree with you, and the reason I agree with you is because the game was played a little differently then, and it took a little special players and teams to be able to form those kind of dynasties. You know, the game is a little different today in that, you know, it's almost that old Earl Weaver theory, pitching, defense, and a three-run homer, except they don't have the defense anymore.
Uh-huh.
But now it's more about, you know, hitting home runs, and that's why there are so many strikeouts.
Yep.
And the game has changed, and that's why it will. I don't think you're going to see any kind of dynasties like that anymore. The Astros are trying to build one, and they come close, but they also play a very good game. They don't just go for home runs. They play a good game, but I think that's one of the reasons you're not going to see dynasties like those anymore.
Interesting. You know, it's crazy, and I watch baseball every night. I follow the top prospects, or I try to. Obviously, it's hard to follow every prospect in the minors, but I got a working feel for most of them, or at least the ones that are ready to hit the bigs. And you rarely hear, you know, as so-and-so steps into the box, and so-and-so is a five-tool player. Like, right. Joe, you don't hear that anymore. It's crazy. And I said something on the show the other day, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I got a simple suggestion to Manfred. Push the fences back, all right? Because what you don't see is a guy scoring from first base on a double in the gap, or the well-executed relay where there's a play at the plate, you know, center field at the shortstop, gunning somebody down at the dish. The parks are too small. Make every line minimum 330 or 335. Push back the gaps. Push back center field. And let's get some speed going here, Joe.
You're the first person, to be honest with you, that have said these things to me. And look, when I played, think about it now, when you're talking about the 70s, most of the ballparks were multi-purpose stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
They played football in it and baseball. So the stadiums were big, and the ballparks were big. You know, all the things you're talking about, the action plays, balls in the gap, guy trying to score from first on a double, all those things were, you know, there. In those days, stealing a base, hit and run, even bunting and stuff every once in a while. All those things were action plays that took place, and, of course, stealing bases. Now the analytics people say that a stolen base is not a good play. I know. That's what I'm trying to figure all this out.
They would have sent you down to the minors, Joe. You stole too many bases.
Thank you. But, I mean, I'm like you. I mean, I'm not, you know, there should be more action in the game, and there's not. I mean, even in the All-Star game the other night, there were 10 home runs, and people, you know, chicks dig the long ball, they say, so it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But there were 25 or so strikeouts as well, right?
Yeah.
So the ball wasn't in play. You didn't see infielders making plays. You didn't see you know, things happening, even in the All-Star game. And those are the best players in both leagues playing. So something is wrong with that picture. And the picture says to me is that we've given up all the other stuff for the home run. I was mentioning the other day that I watched, I read the box scores every day.
Yeah.
And I saw a box score where a guy was had four at-bats, struck out four times, okay?
Yeah.
The next day he struck out the first two times. Mm. Then he hit a home run.
Uh-huh.
And all they talked about was how far the home run went, okay?
Man.
So they've made it where strikeouts are not a negative anymore.
No.
And so the game is different. I mean, that's just the way it is. And, look, I can't say it was better in my day. It was different. That's all I'm going to say.
I got you.
It was a different game.
Yeah.
And that's why the things you talk about, the dynasties and the things that follow, they're not going to happen anymore. You're just not going to see those things.
Mm.
And unfortunately, you know, it's more like, I guess, a video game, and that's nothing wrong with that, except when you say a video game, young kids love video games, but they're not buying the tickets.
That's right. Pops and the uncles and they're reaching into the pockets.
Thank you.
I want to throw this at you. Joe, you have an incredible project coming out that I'm really interested in. And it's a movie about racial segregation in the mid-50s, a Little League team. It sounds incredible. But before we really delve into that, I think a good way to kind of ease into it is to get into Josh Hader's tweets. And I'm curious.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Joe, you know this as well as I do. The court of public opinion on social media is merciless. If they could, they would actually probably hang him or, you know, or stone him to death. It's without mercy. If he was your teammate and you played with Josh Hader and you're playing now, all right, rather than the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Right.
What would you say to him? How would you handle it, Joe?
Well, you know, and that's a difficult question, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know exactly how I would handle it right now. You know, Josh is probably going to sit and talk with his teammates, not just the African-American teammates. He needs to talk to all of his teammates, because otherwise you're assuming that the white teammates agree with you if you just talk to the African-American or Latin teammates.
That's a good point.
So you need to talk to everyone,
mm-hmm.
okay, and just – you know, try to explain what happened and so forth. It's very difficult, you know, in a team sport because teammates are supposed to be teammates, just that. You look them, you take them for who they are, what they are, and go on about your business. I can't remember a name, but there was a guy with the Eagles
mm-hmm.
who said, you know, all kind of racist stuff, that he would fight all and beat up all the, you know, black guys and all that kind of stuff. Yet he stayed on the team for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how you would handle it, and I'm not going to lie to you and say I know how I would handle it. I would not be happy. I'll just start with that.
Yep.
But how I handle it from there on then would be how Hader handles it going forward. Okay? If what his discussion is with the entire team and what his, you know, explanations are, look, I would listen to him. We are different maybe 8 years later than we were. I'm a different person than I was 7 years ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not from the race standpoint, anything like that, because I was brought up to accept all people. But I am different in a lot of other ways, and maybe he is different in that way than he was before. So I don't know. Again, I think it's going to depend on how he approaches his teammates and how they feel.
That's a good answer. By the way, that was Riley Cooper from the Eagles.
Yeah, that's who it
yep.
was, Riley Cooper,
yep.
exactly.
Joel Morgan is with us here, of course. Brilliant 22-year career, a couple of World Series, couple of MVPs, Hall of Famer, just incredible. All right, so I'm going to read the summary, and I have the sheet in front of me here. This looks like a great project. Hank Aaron's involved, Cal Ripken, yeah. Gary Sheffield, Davey Johnson, who was in the studio a couple of weeks ago here on Tiki and Tierney. Back in 1955, when racial segregation defined the South, two groups of 12-year-old boys stepped onto a baseball field in a nonviolent act of cultural defiance that would change the course of history and challenge their own perceptions 60 years later. I'm going to give it to you, but what I love about this part, Joe, boy, when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, hate, and you know, it hasn't permeated your world yet because you're still pure. And the fact that it's, and I love that, and that's what's great about being a kid, and the fact that it's 12-year-olds doing this, it makes it more powerful, more potent. Tell us more about the project.
Well, the project is, that was a great synopsis right there of reading what's in it. In 1955, you know, the African-American kids, black kids, could not play against the white kids in Pensacola, Florida, and Orlando. Two teams, the black team, the white team, decided they would play each other. And here, you have to give a lot of credit to the families of those kids, because if one of the white kids' family said, I'm not going to let little Johnny play, or one of the black kids' family would have said, I'm not going to let Willie play, then that game wouldn't have happened. So you have to give the family credit as well.
Great point.
But your point that you made about 12-year-old kids, they do not, the racism, the hate, all that hasn't built up on them at that stage. And so I think it was great because when they, the film is about this game, but it's also about what came after that game. What happened in 75, what happened in 2000, you know, the civil rights movements, et cetera.
Yep.
How the great thing is these two teams, the members who are still alive, they got together again at that park just to, you know, have a reunion. And all those kids, you know, when they started talking to each other and whatever, they say it was, seemed like it was only yesterday that they remember everything about that game and the people that they played and everything. So they sat down with each other and talked about it from each side. And I think that is great for people to look and watch because, you know, we're in a situation now where the country seems like it's going in a different direction. We're being divided more than ever before. And those kids help bring a sense of focus to bringing people together, just that group of kids. And all they wanted to do was play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's the reason that it struck me so, you know, deep, is because at that same time, 1955, I was 12 years old. And I was living in California. I grew up in Oakland, California. I was playing baseball every day with black kids, white kids, Asian kids, Hispanic kids. I was playing with everyone. And I never even thought about the fact that the kids in the South didn't have the same opportunities that I had and weren't going to have a chance to play in the big leagues, et cetera, because they couldn't play against each other. The white kids couldn't play against the black kids, et cetera. So it really kind of hit home for me because I was the same age as those kids, you know what I mean? And when you sit and you talk with those guys, when you sit down and talk to the people on both sides, I talked to, you know, people who were there for the screening, you know, from the African-American team and from the white team. And, I mean, it's amazing
Joe.
Talk to them and how they are today. And I think that game had an impact on how they saw race relationships going forward.
Phenomenal project. Absolutely phenomenal. And I wish we had more time. That is great. I'll actually follow that up a little bit next hour. But, Joe Morgan, that was terrific. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.